everyone. Let's take our hymn books. I think we're against some possible thunderstorms and stuff this evening, so we're going to just turn in the hymn book and sing 419. 419. Experience and the history and the confession of every true believer. We thank the Lord for His enabling us to come tonight. We pray for those of our number that are sick, and we ask the Lord's mercy in all situations, such as these coming storms and others. We pray for the people throughout this country lately that have suffered the loss of life and property and the tornadoes and things of this nature. God sends so many reminders of His power, of His sovereign mercy, of His grace, of His ability to destroy, His wrath. And yet no one ever sees anything about Him until He's pleased to open their eyes. Let's pray tonight. Father, we ask tonight, not on anything that we're able to present to You or anything do for You, anything give to You, only on the basis of the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We come in His name and we ask and plead, as we must always do, for Your continued mercy and grace. We thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the one in whom Your people were loved from old eternity. The one who died in their place on the cross, and the one who is revealed to their heart by Your Spirit. We pray that we might be among those people that are the objects of Your everlasting love and Your grace which is given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. We pray tonight, Lord, as we gather together, that you would bless our time, that you would especially be in our midst, that you would in these moments and in these few words manifest yourself to us and remind us of your promises that are yea and amen, those precious promises that are in the Lord Jesus Christ, who never fails and who never changes, who never alters, especially in those things that pertain to his role as our Savior, Redeemer, and Covenant Head. We pray for these that are sick of our number. We ask according to your will in all and every case. We pray, Father, that you would help us, that you would manifest your strength in our lives and your grace to heal and to help, to provide and to protect. We thank you tonight for all that you do for us. We are in ourselves such a people of ingratitude, but we thank you tonight and pray that you would help us, be merciful to us, and keep us. For we thank you and we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Turn, if you would, tonight for just a few minutes to the book of Acts, chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. And I'll begin reading in verse 22. Verse 22. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. The Apostle Peter, early in these days, after the death of Christ and after Pentecost, he is giving a further revelation of the Christ as he was spoken of in the Old Testament Scriptures. And he is calling the one of whom Moses and all the prophets spoke, the prophet. The prophet. Verse 22, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, hear, or him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. A prophet, there are different offices that men were anointed for in the Old Testament. But one of those offices which was to prefigure Christ was the office of the prophet. They were anointed by the people as the prophet God had appointed. But the one that they represented was the one who truly would speak for God. That's what a prophet does. He speaks for God. And this prophet, Peter knew something particular about him. So when you hear what Peter says in the book of 2 Peter, turn with me to 2 Peter. Peter is speaking as one who has first-hand knowledge and eyewitness information. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. Peter says of himself and the apostles, he says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables." That's the gospel of our day. Cunningly devised fables. "When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount." That was the Holy Mount that we read about over in Luke chapter 9. When Christ took Peter, James, and John up into the mount and He was transfigured there, and God spoke from heaven, identifying with Christ on that occasion. So much so that Peter was wanting to build three tabernacles for Moses and Elijah and Christ, who appeared with Christ there. But if you remember, it was Moses who was a type of the law, and Elijah who was a type of the prophets, that on that occasion they faded from sight. And all that was seen was the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, what Peter calls here that excellent glory, that Shekinah glory that identified God being in the midst of the place that we read about in the Old Testament. But all of this was done so that it might be seen that from Christ, from what He said, from what He brought, that we as the people of God should hear Him and those that He appointed alone. Look over in this same passage that 2 Peter chapter 1 at what Peter says then. For we have, now after having said all of this, he says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. A more sure word up from God. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. This is the source of all true light. Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. In other words, until Christ is revealed to you by this light, by this truth, by this prophecy in Christ. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture, of the Scripture, is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In other words, all of these things that were spoken and given to us, whether it be an Old Testament prophet, whether it be an apostle, or whether it be by the mouth of Jesus Christ himself, or by the written word that he gave through these men by the Holy Ghost, we are to hear. Because they are all saying the same thing. They are all testifying to what God says about all things, and particularly what God says about Jesus Christ and His glorious person and His finished work on the cross. You see, Moses had prophesied by the Spirit of God, calling the Christ, the Messiah, that prophet. And when you turn back over to the book of Deuteronomy, in Deuteronomy we read the words that Moses recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 18, which was before so very many of all these prophets. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 15. And the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet, capital letters, from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, liken unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. In every place, Christ is referred to as a prophet, the prophet, the prophet like unto Moses, the prophet like unto every prophet that God has ever sent. But this is for sure. We are to listen to, we are to hear him. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb on the day of assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die. Now you remember the occasion. This was that fiery mount. This was the log where the law was given. This is where Moses went up and came down with those commandments. And he says, you remember what you said on that occasion, that you do not want to hear the voice of God anymore, lest you be smitten through and die. That's what you said. That's what Israel said. But Moses is saying here that there will be somebody else, particularly, that speaks for God. And if you don't hear him, you can't hear this law and live. But if you don't hear him, you'll surely be destroyed. And the Lord said unto me, they have spoken well that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he will speak in my name, I will require it of him. I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thy heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. In other words, if they speak not what God has spoken, it doesn't matter how sincere they are. It doesn't matter how emotional they are. It doesn't matter how long they've been speaking. Doesn't matter how many they speak to. If they speak not what God has spoken, they were not sent. They are not true prophets. They are not truly those whom God has sent and called to speak what thus saith the Lord. And he says, you don't have to be afraid of them. I love that last statement. No matter how hard they are, no matter how terrifying they are, no matter how much they promise or warn you against, if they have not and are not speaking according to what God says, you don't have to be afraid of them. They have to be afraid of what the Lord will do for them. There are many references in the Gospels that refer to the Lord Jesus Christ as a prophet, as the prophet. Listen to this in Luke 24. And the one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? They were talking to Christ himself then. And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Have you heard about what's happened to the prophet? How they crucified him? Here again in John chapter 1. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he saith, "I am not." "Art thou that prophet?" They were talking to John the Baptist. "Who are you? Are you Elias? Are you that prophet?" See, they had some understanding of a promised prophet. And he answered no. And they asked him and said, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" Well, the truth is, the scriptures say the law and the prophets were until John the Baptist. And then comes the prophet. And that's what John the Baptist was. He was the forerunner of Christ. In John chapter 4, that woman at the well, the woman saith to him, that is to Jesus, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." By what he knew, by what he could tell her, by the authority by which he spoke, she said, "I perceive that thou art a prophet." And then again in John chapter 6, "Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." You see, he was, as Moses said, a prophet, or that prophet, the prophet likened to him. There were many ways in which the Lord Jesus Christ was similar, you might say, to Moses. He was to be chosen, ordained, and sent by God. Like Moses, he had a unique birth. At his birth, a ruler sought to destroy him, but he was miraculously preserved. He grew up in the house of one who was not his father. He remained in obscurity until the hour of his public work. He was despised by most people. He came out of the midst of the people. He's one made like unto his brethren, a son of Abraham, a Jew, and many more details. He was like unto Moses. But Christ was a prophet in a greater sense, who brought the revelation of the divine will. He said, "This is the will of Him that sent me," who taught the way, who explained the scriptures of truth perfectly, who foretold things to come, who was raised up by the Lord God of Israel, anointed by His Spirit, and many more things. But there was one very important difference. In one sense, God sent both Moses and Christ as a revelation of Himself. By Moses came a revelation from God. But by Christ came the revelation of God. What Moses prophesied concerning God was true. But Christ prophesied as the truth Himself. And this is one, I feel like, of the most important verses. Or few verses found in John chapter 1, verse 14. Now listen to this. And the Word that was God, was with God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then in verse 17, he says this. For the law, which is a revelation of how holy God is, of what He requires, of how He deals with sin, a revelation of God, many things about God. The law was given by Moses, but, and that's set in contrast to that law, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. That's a big difference. The next verse. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. And that means something like this. He has told Him out. When those Israelites stood at the bottom of Mount Sinai that burned with fire, Moses received the law. And it was such a place, the presence of God was there in such a way that if even a cattle or anything, especially a man, just approached and touched that mount, they would die. They would die. Even then, God was showing us and telling us about the law. Israel spent all those years, all the years in the wilderness, all the years to the coming of Christ, showing us that no man by the law, by our obedience, or by anything that we do in any way could ever please God, could ever be accepted by God, could ever be blessed according to those things. Nobody. Given the most wonderful outward revelations of God, hearing God speak from the mount of fire, seeing the miracles that were performed to them, seeing the deliverances that were performed by God, delivering them out of Egypt. By none of these things could they know God in truth and grace. What Moses revealed about God was truth. But what Christ reveals about God is the truth. Grace and truth came in the Lord Jesus Christ. God spoke through a mediator with Moses. But the mediator that he speaks to in these days is his Son. God, in diverse times and diverse ways, in past times, has spoken in many ways. But he's in these last days spoken by his Son. So that everywhere we see Christ, when he is spoken of by the Father audibly from heaven, and the Shekinah glory does, such as Peter saw there on the Mount of Transfiguration, when he identifies Jesus Christ as his only well-beloved, only begotten Son, he says always on these occasions, "Hear ye him." Hear. There was no grace in the letter of Moses' law, and there never will be any. It requires always, as it did then, perfection. It demands doing in every detail, and yet when none can do, it demands death for sin. It's a curse to all sinners. It was given by Moses the prophet. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Listen in John 5:24. I've got to hurry. "Verily, verily, I say unto you," now this is Christ himself. I could have selected probably 100 verses like this. But this is what he said. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." One old preacher said, "He's got it." How do you know he's got it? Because he hears Christ's word, all his word, and he believes on him that sent me. Therefore, he has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is already passed from death unto life. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Their hearing Christ, their believing the promises of God in Him, that's the evidence, that's like a baby cry. The baby doesn't cry to get life, the baby cries before because he has life. He's living. How do we know? Because he believes the truth. Not a lie, not these false prophets, but he believes the truth. And then Christ said something else. And he said this concerning the apostles. All the apostles. Judas was not one. That one was the one born out of season. That was Paul. 12 apostles. He said, this is when he first sent them out. He said, he that heareth you, heareth me. We know that all these Old Testament prophets that we read in Scripture were sent of God, spoke for God. But these that were sent out by Christ were sent with that same authority, given a clearer revelation of God's grace and purpose of grace in Christ, such as Paul. But Christ said, he that heareth you, heareth me, and he that despiseth you, despiseth me, and he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. Boy, that's a mouthful, isn't it? He said, if these apostles, when they spoke, if people heard them and believed what the message he gave them, they were hearing Christ himself. If they did not, if they despised those apostles, they despised Christ himself. And despising Christ himself, they despised God the Father. He that heareth you. That's the authority of those who truly speak for God. They have to speak what thus saith the Lord. And everybody claims to. This multitude of preachers and religionists in our day, they all claim to speak. And I'm not talking about those that just said, God spoke to me last night and told me to tell you that. You know that's phony. But they stand up and take the scriptures here and there and they supposedly speak for God. But they don't speak the truth because they don't speak grace. They don't speak good news. They don't speak that message which comforts the true people of God, gives them hope, and speaks of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And especially in our day, it seems like, they don't speak what this apostle Paul, who was taught of Christ, they don't speak what he says. He said, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And I've heard a lot of explanations of that verse. And every time I go to it and read it, it says the same thing. They said he's the picture of the law, or he's this of the law, and that we still have to go to the law. One preacher said we have to go to Sinai to get a man lost, and then we have to go to Calvary to get him saved. Then we have to go back to Sinai to teach him how to live. No. Christ is the end of the law. The goal, they say. Well, this is the goal then. To show that nobody, by their obedience to the law, in any way, can ever establish any kind of righteousness except for self-righteousness. Christ is the end of the law. Why? Because He satisfied the penalty that the law demanded upon His people for their sins. He ended it. That's why it says He cried out on the cross, "It is finished." He's the end of the law. The law can have no claim on us. The law has no grip on us, no relation to us. Because the law demanded that the soul that sinneth shall die. Well, we sinned. So we died in Him. And He's the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Somebody said, "I can't believe that." Wasn't for you then. But I'm telling you something. The Scripture says that we are to take heed how you hear. It says over in some places, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." And it says by this same apostle, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." God says, "This is my prophet. This is my Son in whom I'm pleased. I'm satisfied. My law, which was broken on behalf of the people, I'm satisfied. Hear ye Him." Don't hear anybody else. Hear ye Him. Believe on Him. Trust in Him. Not any law obedience. Not any Christian life additions. Religion takes a man and supposedly takes some baggage from him. But then they take the law and they add more baggage to it. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. He's the prophet to hear. That's what I call this message, the prophet to hear. Not the prophet of prosperity or the prophet of healing or this, that, and the other like in our day. But the one who speaks not only for God, but as God. Lord bless you. Father, we pray in this hour that You would watch over us, that You would cause us to hear what thus saith the Lord Jesus Christ. Cause us to know that grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And He is that prophet that through His death speaks peace to sinners, that established that righteousness which God imputes in Him to all Your people. We thank You. And we pray in His name. Amen. Amen.
Yes.